God can use you. Did you know that? Did you know He can use me? Don't matter where you come from. Don't matter what you've been through. Don't matter what you've done. God can use you. But as we go through this tonight, keep in mind, God can use you if you'll let Him. If you don't let God use you, He's not going to use you. But you got to let God use you. And if you'll let Him, He will. And we're going to look at the man by the name of Moses tonight. And Moses was very known throughout Scripture. You go to Israel today and you mention the name Moses in the Holy Land, everybody's going to know this man named Moses. God used him in a miraculous way, but before God used him, God had to show Moses that He was able to do so. And there was a time in my life that God had to show me that He could use me if I just let Him. So, without further ado, we're going to begin in chapter 4. It says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." Now, without backing up and reading it, Moses had seen the burning bush on the hillside. He had went up to the burning bush to see why this bush is on fire but is not consumed. And it is the Lord speaking to him through this burning bush. Verse 2 said, "And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became as a rod in his hand. And they that believed... may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and he pulled it, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shall take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing of the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto thy people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God. And the last verse I'm going to read this afternoon says, And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs.
You must understand that the Israelites have been in bondage for some 400 years. And I'm sure out of those 400 years, people cried out to God. They cried for help. They asked God to intervene in their situation. And there was many times that they thought that God was not hearing them.
God could not hear them, but for whatever reason, God did not intervene. And as I mentioned this morning, it's not about our timetable, but it's about His. You see, when Abraham was here on the earth, and God promised all them promises to Abraham, He told Abraham that they were going to sojourn in a land and be strangers in the land for 400 years. You see, if God jumped in and come to their beck and call, then that promise that He told Abraham would have been false. But if there's anything our God is, it is not false. There's not a promise, there's not anything that He says that does not come to pass. So in these 400 years, they have been in bondage. And you know the historical account. Moses was found by Pharaoh's daughter. Moses was raised by Moses' own mother. We can go back and study it. We're not going to look at it tonight. But there was a day in Moses' life, he said, "This is not the life for me." He said, "My people are afflicted. My people are burdened. My people are being hurt." And he come upon an Egyptian that was whipping the Israelites. And at that time, Moses, in his anger, he lashed out at the Egyptian, ended up killing the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and he soon realized that what he thought he was doing privately had been seen. So what he did was he fled. And when he fled, he went out to this land, and fast forwarding, he met a young lady, he married her. He is working for his father-in-law named Jethro. And he is watching over a flock. And I mentioned he's seen this burning bush. But he had to go up there and investigate because this bush was not consumed. And when he got up there, God called him out of this bush. Now Moses, in his mind and in the state that he was in, he was nobody special. He was just another man. But God had plans for this man. And God has plans for you and for me. But there's many people today that will sit back and say, "I don't want to do that." And they do not let God work in their life the way that He can. But He had to show Moses that He had a plan for his life. And as he was up there, God told him, He said, "Moses, you're on holy ground. Take off your shoes." And Moses done just that. It was there that God revealed to Moses who he was. Now, understand, Moses at this time is at least of 80 years of age. He's no young whippersnapper, but God could still use him at that age. God didn't choose to use him at 40, 50, 60, 70, but he was 80 years old at this time in his life. And he told Moses, he said, "I've heard the cry of the people. I hear them calling out for help. And Moses, I am going to deliver them in their anguish. I'm going to deliver them." And I imagine Moses, he said, "Well, God, that's wonderful. I can't wait to see what you're going to do." But he said, "Moses, I'm going to use you." And Moses said, whoa, wait a minute. It's wonderful that you're going to get them out of bondage. It's wonderful that your promises are going to come to pass, but God, I ain't the man. I ain't the man for the job." But when God calls, I'm going to say God makes no mistakes. So we see in verse 1, we pick up that Moses said, God, they ain't going to believe me. They ain't going to listen to me. And he said, Moses, he said, if they ain't going to listen to you, I want you to take that rod that you're holding in your hand, throw it on the ground, and what it's going to do, it's going to turn into a snake. And as God was telling him, Moses was doing this. It says that Moses fled from the scene where he threw it down and it turned to a serpent. I'm going to be the first one to tell you, I ain't got to throw anything down. I ain't got to see anything turn into a serpent. If I see a snake, you know where Zach's going to go? As far away as Zach can get. I don't like snakes. I don't know about y'all, but if there's a snake here, I ain't going to be. I'm going to be way over there. But Moses went and hid, and he said, Moses, it's okay. I want you to go grab him by the tail. And if that was me, I'd be like, Lord, I don't know if this is you or not. Just go ahead and turn him back into a stick or cane. But Moses obeyed the Lord, and he grabbed him by the tail. And he turned back into the staff that he had. He also said, Moses, I want you to take your hand. If they don't listen and they don't hearken into the first sign, I want you to take your hand and put it to your bosom. And Moses said, okay, Lord. And he took his hand and he put it inside his garment. And then when he pulled it out, his hand was leprous as snow. It was white as could be. And he said, Moses, take your hand and do likewise. And he put his hand back in his bosom, back underneath the garment, pulled it back out, and it was turned back just as his flesh. And they said, God, I still don't know if they're going to believe me. I still don't know, he said, if they won't believe the first sign, they won't believe the second sign. He said, I want you to dip your cup in the Nile, or in the river there, and I want you to pour it upon the dry land, and as you pour it, the water is going to turn to blood. You see, Moses was given excuse after excuse after excuse. God, it's wonderful you're going to deliver them, but I'm not the man for the job. God called Moses. God is the one that said you're the man for the job. And I wonder here tonight, how many people are sitting in this room, maybe tuning in on the live stream, that God said, you're the man or the woman for the job. But we're just too good at making up excuses. I can't believe you're saying that, Zach. Well, I can say that because I've done this. But he said, they won't believe me. But after these three signs that God would provide to the nation, Moses knew that doing these miracles, he knew that it wasn't him. But if Pharaoh's nation had seen this, the nation of Egypt have seen this, they knew that Moses was not able to do this, that this had to be of God. So Moses had to switch gears. He had to switch gears. And if you look in verse 10, his excuse that he jumps to in verse 10, he says, and Moses said unto the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. What he's saying, he said, I'm not a good speaker. He said, I can't talk in front of people. I'm not able to do that. There's no way that I can get up there. That's just not me, God. And God answered and said in verse 11, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or the deaf? Or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? The Lord's telling him, I know what you can do, Moses. Because I know everything about you. I know what you can't do because I made you. I know your limits, but we're not going on what you can do. We're going on what I can do. And you see, if you try to go in this life and do what you can do and what I can do, you're going to fall flat on your face. Yeah, we can't do a thing. We need the Lord. And he said, I'm going to be right there. He said, Moses, I created you. I know what you can and can't do. And he told him, he said, now go therefore and I will be with your mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. He said, I'm going to put in your mouth what needs to be said. All I need is you to go. I'll take care of the rest. Just go. I'll take care of the rest. And in verse 13, he looks at him and he says, Lord, you got the wrong guy. Not me, Lord. Go get somebody else. He says, I pray thee by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. He said, God, you got the wrong guy. I can't go. Moses was saying, not me, Lord. Not me, Lord. Somebody else. There's all these people out here. I can't go. I don't know nothing. I can do these signs like you said. He said, but I can't speak. God didn't call a speaker. He called a man. God told him that he would provide signs so the people would believe him. He also told him that he would be with his speech and teach him what to say. And Moses still asked God to send somebody else. But you know what? God didn't want somebody else. God wanted Moses. God wanted Moses. So we know that there was a time when Moses was fighting being used of God. But we know there's also a time that Moses gave in and said, all right, God. And Moses went. And when you go and you let God work through you, with you, stuff will start to happen. Well, what happened when Moses was finally convinced of himself that he could be used of God in such a manner? He pronounced the 10 plagues. He led the entire nation out of Egypt. He followed a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He split the Red Sea. He got water from a rock. He led the nation to victory over Amalek. He received the 10 commandments. He gave the laws of the land. He gave the instructions for the building of the tabernacle. He taught the nation how to worship. He wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. But he couldn't do that unless he let God use him. So if not Moses, then who? If not you, then who? God says, I just need you to go. I'll take care of the rest. And simply tonight, I told you I wouldn't be long. But in closing, God can use you if you're letting. But the big hindrance of God using you or me is me and you. There are many reasons why God shouldn't call me and shouldn't call you. Or anyone else for that matter. If you think you're not able to be used of God, then you're in good company. You're in good company tonight. Think of all those that God used despite their shortcomings. Abraham lied. Sarah laughed at God's promise of a child that a woman that could not have children was going to have. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit, or the armor that Saul gave him didn't fit. Hosea's wife was a harlot. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Paul was a murderer. Lazarus was dead. Ruth was a widow. Noah got drunk. Elijah was burned out. Jeremiah was depressed. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Rahab was a harlot. And Peter denied Jesus. What are you saying? God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You see, I don't go to God and say, God, look at everything that I can do. Use me. You've heard me say, and you'll hear me time and time again, I'm a nobody that one day met a somebody that changed my life and made me a somebody. But you see, God didn't call me or you because of what we can and can't do. God just needs a willing vessel, a willing person. And we try to come up with all these excuses. Why not me? When All God is just wanting somebody willing. Why are you preaching this message tonight? I would like to have Sunday school started back up. I'd like to see the younger generation come in. Zach can't do it on his own. And I know that there are some very qualified people that God has used in the past to help take on Sunday school. Maybe it's a men's class, a women's class. Maybe it's the mixed congregation out here. But God can use you if you'll let Him. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't. But no matter your shortcoming, God can still use you. God desires to do great things with and through you, but before He can, you must have accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've never humbled yourself at the foot of the cross, then you're not fit for the service of God. But once you're a child of God, then He can work through you to change the lives of others. A few years ago, we went down to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte. We had other plans, but it got changed. Y'all know plans that we make them, so they'll change. So we ended up going to the Billy Graham Library. Has anybody been to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte? Nobody? Y'all been. We went a few years ago, and honestly, I didn't know what it was. When you say the word library, what do you think about? You think about books. You think about things like that. And that's exactly what I pictured. But, you know, they said, well, we're going to go. And I said, a library? Okay. So we went. And as I began to go through this library, it is anything but just a giant book storehouse. Now, at the end, there is a library that you can go. You can purchase some things in there to help with your walk with the Lord. But it's called the Billy Graham Library. But what it is a walkthrough of Billy Graham's life. But they're not emphasizing the life of Billy Graham. But they're emphasizing the one who worked through the life of Billy Graham. They put the emphasis on God. And we had the opportunity to go down there just a couple weeks ago. There again, they decorate it for Christmas. So we decided to go down there, see the Christmas lights. It's free of charge. Don't cost anything to go in there. And as we go through this, and as you go through the library, you're going to go through and you're going to learn about the life of Billy Graham. You're going to learn about the God of Billy Graham. And you're going to see how God moved and how He orchestrated and put things together as you walk through this library. And there's scripture all over the wall. There's pictures all over the wall. Billy Graham with this individual and that individual. And of course, many people that I have not seen. But you can start to see how God used the man of Billy Graham. But out of everything that I've seen in there, the first time I went, there was one thing that fascinated me above every other. You see, I told you, Zach is good at making excuses why God can't use me. How I'm not the man for the job. And I heard somebody preach a sermon and use this illustration from the Billy Graham Library, but before I could believe it. Sometimes you can trust, but you got to verify. I was like, I don't see how that could come to pass. But as I was down there and was walking through the Billy Graham Library, I seen this, and it wasn't a plaque, but it was like a little bitty, I guess, a board. As I read it, all I could do was begin to sit there and cry. Because we have to understand, God does nothing in and through our lives for no reason. God has a reason for everything. I may not know the reason, but there's a reason. But as we were going through there and I come across this, I'm going to read you what I read on this plaque. It was titled, "The Progression of a Strong Witness for Christ." It read something like this. A man named Edward Kimball went into a shoe store to witness to a shoe clerk. Mr. Kimball was a Sunday school teacher, and his shoe clerk was a 19-year-old student in his class. He laid his trembling hand on that shoe clerk and began to witness to him, and that shoe clerk accepted Jesus Christ into his heart. That shoe clerk's name was Dwight L. Moody. He was one of the greatest evangelists that we have ever known. He started teaching Sunday school in a church, winning many souls to Christ. He became a speaker and ended up preaching the gospel. And one day he was invited to England to preach at a church of F.B. Meyer. Meyer was a very cultured Englishman. Moody murdered the King's English. And Myers was ashamed that he even invited this uncultured American to preach. But yet, the power of God fell on that service. Later, F.B. Myers was having tea with a lady in the church, and he asked her how she was doing. She said, "Wonderful, Dr. Myers. Since Moody has been here, I've won every girl in my class to Jesus Christ." F.B. Myers was so touched to learn of this that it transformed his life. Myers came to the United States one day to preach at a college. The students outside listening, and he was preaching on surrender. And he said, "If you're not willing to surrender your life to Jesus, will you at least pray for God to make you willing?" A student out there was named Wilbur Chapman, and he said, "Oh God, that's me. I haven't been willing." Chapman was just about to quit. He was just about to get out of school. And he said, "God, I'm willing to be made willing." God took him at that starting place and made him willing. And Wilbur Chapman became a great evangelist. Years down the road, Chapman needed some help. He found a young YMCA clerk, an ex-professional baseball player whose name was Billy Sunday. Myers asked Billy if he would come help him set up counseling sessions, the tent, so on and so forth. Billy agreed. Billy Sunday helped Chapman many years, and when Chapman became feeble and too weak to carry on, Billy Sunday took over. Billy Sunday had a worldwide ministry, and many, many lives were impacted. Billy Sunday went to Charlotte, North Carolina in 1924 and held a revival crusade. That movement of God was so great that a prayer meeting got started and lasted right on through until the Depression came. Those men and women prayed for another revival that would shake Charlotte and wake up the world. As a result, Mordecai Ham came to Charlotte for another crusade. In that crusade, when Mordecai Ham was preaching, a young, tall, lanky, 16-year-old farm boy came forward and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. His name was Billy Graham. Billy Graham has preached to kings and princesses or princes around the world. He also had a national impact on the world by television. And I'm going to ask you today, how did all that start? You can trace that all back. You can trace all of that back, the many, many years, to one faithful and praying Sunday school teacher. So as I begin to read this, I could trace it back and see that it wasn't the one that was on TV that made this national impact. Yeah, God used that. But you trace it all back to a faithful, praying Sunday school teacher. So I'm going to say today and this afternoon, don't ever say that you can't be used of God. Because if He can use one Sunday school teacher that's not afraid to bow the knees and pray for a lost shoe clerk in his Sunday school classroom. And it can lead to an account like that. You better believe God can use you. Moses said, I'm not the guy. God said, yes, you are. So what has God been telling you lately? God can use you only if you'll let Him.